You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We all know that what we eat affects our health. There's growing awareness that it also affects the environment. And experts say that both our bodies and our planet would benefit from a reduction in the amount of meat we eat. Here in the U.S., beef is the most egregious offender, and Americans eat 4 times the global average. Well, researchers at the World Resources Institute have been exploring what a more sustainable diet might look like and how we might get there. Later this year, they'll be releasing their final report on creating a sustainable food future. Joining me now is Richard Waite. He's an associate with World Resources Institute's food program. Richard, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
The USDA is actually predicting record meat production for 2018. What does that tell us about meat consumption?
Well, the two are quite related, since a lot of the meat that we produce in the U.S., we consume here in the U.S. as well. And there's been a lot of headlines, I know, since the beginning of this month about record meat production and also record meat consumption here in the U.S. for the year 2018.
Now, per capita meat consumption has been creeping upward in recent decades, but here in the U.S. at least, the trend since the 1970s has been a shift in what kinds of meat we're eating. So where are we and where do we seem to be headed?
If you look at the top line, if you add beef plus chicken plus pork consumption together, it has been inching upward per capita in the U.S. since the 1970s.
So just to be clear, I mean, you say it per capita. It's not just that total consumption has gone up because the population has grown, but the amount that each person is eating has been going up.
That's correct. The total has been going up quite a bit. Per capita, I would say, has been, we could say inching upward. It's actually quite similar to where we were in the 1970s when you add the three meats together. But the interesting thing is per capita beef consumption actually peaked in the mid-70s in the U.S., and since then, it's been on the decline, and it's been mostly chicken that's been filling its place in the diet. So if we look back to the mid-1970s to today, beef consumption per capita has actually declined by about a third, while chicken consumption per capita has more than doubled.
Those are some pretty big shifts. Do we have a good idea of what's driving those changes?
I mean, it's never easy to pin it exactly on one factor, but researchers have identified a few factors that could together possibly explain this large shift. So back in 2009, the beef industry funded a study that showed that growing health concerns around eating red meat could possibly be a factor helping consumers shift towards chicken. Another interesting one is the increase in women in the workforce over the past 50 years. And with more two-income households, there's less time to prepare food at home, and beef can take longer than chicken to prepare. Another one is having more affordable and ready-to-cook chicken products on the market. So it's this confluence between convenience factors, affordability factors, and possibly health factors as well. And USDA also points to total chicken production over the past 50 years has actually increased by 5 times while beef production is held steady. So there's just a lot more chicken on the market now than there was 50 years ago, and its price in the supermarket tends to be quite a bit lower too. So convenience, price, availability, and possibly health concerns as well.
Richard Waite is an associate with World Resources Institute's food program. So let's talk about the environmental impacts of these changes in meat consumption. As you said, beef consumption has dropped pretty dramatically, but it still accounts for half of food-related carbon emissions in the U.S. So what has this shift actually done for our overall food emissions footprint?
So the fact that we've cut back on our beef consumption by a third is very interesting because, as you said, it remains the most environmentally consequential food in our diet. And just to give you a sense of how big that is, it's beef accounts for 3% of the calories we eat and about 12% of the protein we eat. But like you said, it accounts for nearly half of the land use and the greenhouse gas emissions associated with our diet. So we also know that our research shows that beef production requires about 7 times more land and emits 7 times more greenhouse gases than chicken does per gram of protein. So between this fact and the fact that American farming has gotten steadily more efficient over the past 50 years,
individual dietary footprints are probably quite a bit lower than they were 50 years ago. Now, that said, while a shift towards chicken does reduce pressure on the global environment, a shift towards plant-based foods like legumes and fruits and vegetables would yield even more environmental benefits. So just as chicken is 7 times more land efficient and greenhouse gas efficient than beef, beans, for example, are 20 times more land efficient and greenhouse gas efficient than beef. And as we look out to the future, we're going to need to shift more in this direction because the world is on track to add another 3 billion people to the global middle class in the next few decades. And we know that as incomes rise across the developing world, meat demand is going to rise as well. So if we look out to the year 2050, based on some estimates by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, beef demand could actually rise by something like 90% globally. And that's going to put enormous pressure on the world's remaining forests and on the climate. So here in the U.S., where consumption is still quite a bit higher than the world average, there's still a lot more that we can do to shift towards a healthy mix of plant-based foods, help put the global agricultural system on a path to keeping global warming below 2 degrees.
You know, here in New England, fisheries, aquaculture, seafood is a big part not only of our economy, but of many people's diets. Have you looked at the role of seafood and aquaculture in getting to this more sustainable food future and reducing the impact of agriculture on land?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And fisheries and aquaculture both have a sizable role to play in feeding a growing world population sustainably. So just as we compared the relative efficiency in land and greenhouse gas emissions of beef and chicken, farmed fish, aquaculture, tend to be about as efficient as chicken overall. And so it is, as animal proteins go, it is a relatively low impact one. And when you think about the bivalves, the oysters and clams and mussels and scallops, those are the most efficient forms of animal protein on the earth. They require no land at all, no fresh water at all, and they're pretty low greenhouse gas emitting. So absolutely, the expansion of sustainable forms of aquaculture has a large role to play in helping achieve a sustainable food future, particularly as we know we've hit a peak in wild fish catch. It's been stable since about the 1990s, while world fish demand continues to grow. So growing sustainable aquaculture is going to be crucial as well.
You've given us a few hints here that aquaculture is part of it. We don't necessarily have to go vegan. Could you give us a preview maybe of your final report coming out this year? What does the recipe for a sustainable food future, a sustainable diet, look like?
There's a few ingredients to it. I mean, one thing that we know is that it's not going to be enough just to make agriculture more climate smart, although that's a big part of what has to happen. So more climate-friendly and more productive ways of growing crops and livestock and aquaculture is all going to be a huge part of the solution. At the same time, we're going to have to be working across food supply chains and on the consumption side as well. So reducing food waste is another huge thing that we could be doing more of here in the U.S. 40% of all food in the U.S. that's grown is lost or wasted between the farm and the fork. So reducing waste is another big opportunity. And then shifting to lower impact diets. And one thing that we've been doing is we've been doing a lot of thinking about how can we actually enable those shifts in consumption habits. And we've, about a year and a half ago, launched a program called the Better Buying Lab, where we've brought together a number of large food companies and behavioral economists and marketing experts to try to think through how can we learn through some shifts that have already happened, like this beef to chicken shift and others, to try to enable this shift towards a lower impact and a more plant-based diet.
And if we did all of those things and we were eating more plant-based, less meat, maybe more locally, not wasting food, all of those things, how much of an impact could that have on global greenhouse gas emissions? I mean, if you compare it to things like power plants and cars, how much of a difference could our diets make?
It could be quite big. I mean, globally, it's important to note that agriculture in total accounts for about 24% of greenhouse gas emissions. When you look just at the livestock sector, it's about 14.5%. That's a UN Food and Agriculture Organization estimate, and that amount is actually quite similar to the emissions from transportation globally. So it's very important in the scheme of things. To get to a sustainable food future, we're going to have to eliminate deforestation. We're going to have to restore native ecosystems like forests on some land that gets freed up through this combination of changes in food production patterns and consumption patterns. I mean, one theme that's emerging from the modeling that we're doing is that there's no silver bullet. The world's going to have to do all of these things across food production and food consumption. We're going to have to be doing more than we're doing already, and there's going to have to be technological breakthroughs along the way to get to where we need to be. But there is a path to get there.
Well, we do look forward to that report coming out later this year. Richard Waite is an associate with the Food Program at World Resources Institute. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Up next, how long can Olympic athletes keep breaking records? Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.